Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines. Tributes have been paid to the 34-year-old mother of one who died in hospital yesterday morning following a hit-and-run collision. Non-essential international travel reopens 1 week from today. 63 COVID patients are in hospital today, the highest number in almost a month. A formal date for the reopening of indoor dining may not be agreed until tomorrow, and the 5 millionth COVID-19 vaccine will be administered this week in the Republic of Ireland, according to the Health Minister. We'll have those stories in full, as well as sport with Oisin coming up in the next half hour. Now back to our main story, and tributes have been paid to the 34-year-old mother of one who died in hospital yesterday morning following a hit-and-run collision. Laura Connolly was struck by a white van close to Town Parks in Lifford. The van then left the scene. A man was arrested yesterday and brought to Letterkenny Garda Station, but this afternoon he was released without charge by Gardaí. A file is now being prepared for the Director of Public Prosecutions. Gardaí have renewed an appeal for witnesses or anyone with dashcam footage who was travelling on the N15 or in the Town Parks Lifford area at 2:45 early on Sunday morning when the incident occurred. On today's 9 till noon show, Lifford Parish Priest Father Colm O'Doherty said the incident has had a devastating effect on the local community.
It's a very close-knit community where Laura lived. Everybody knows everybody. And there's very, very good relations between everyone, and it's just an absolute tragedy. It's just very, very hard to put into words. It really is. I was to celebrate her wedding next September, not this September, but next September, and she was away apparently, away getting her wedding dress picked out and all that. Just the day that she died. So it's really so moving and so sad. You know, she was looking forward to new beginnings for life, and then it wasn't to be then, just wasn't to be. There's so many parts to every story, and there'll be quite a number of families affected by this.
Non-essential international travel reopens 1 week from today. From today also, 1.9 million digital COVID certs will be issued to people who have been fully vaccinated. Certs will also be available on request to people who have recently recovered from COVID-19, but those will be valid for no more than 180 days. And Taoiseach Leo Varadkar says it will take time to get these certs sent out to everyone.
It's quite a big operation being led by the Office of Government Procurement, also with the help of the Revenue Commissioners, so I wouldn't anticipate everyone will get their digital cert today. It might take a little bit longer than that, and of course it'll only go out to people who are fully vaccinated. It's important to say that people aren't fully vaccinated until a week or two after their second dose, or 2 weeks in the case of the Janssen vaccine.
63 COVID-19 patients are in hospital today, the highest number in almost a month. The figure has increased by nearly two-thirds in less than 3 weeks, up from 38 on June the 25th. There are now 16 patients in intensive care with COVID-19, which is the same as yesterday's figure. A formal date for the reopening of indoor dining may not be agreed upon until tomorrow. Cabinet ministers are being briefed on the legislation over the phone this afternoon, ahead of a full cabinet meeting tomorrow morning. The new laws will allow fully vaccinated people, or those who have recovered from COVID-19, to dine indoors starting sometime next week. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin says they have not agreed an exact date yet.
Today will be the legislation. Tomorrow, Cabinet will assess a memorandum in relation to the phased reopening of indoor dining and hospitality in terms of different measures over time. But in the initial phase, following closely the advice from NPHET, we did say we'd have a plan by the 19th. We will have a plan to facilitate the reopening of indoor dining and indoor hospitality.
Meanwhile, Sinn Féin says it has real reservations about the government's plans to resume indoor dining. The party's health spokesperson David Cullinan feels it's all a bit too rushed.
They then had to scramble over the last number of weeks to put a plan together. It's the same story, the same pattern from this government. Their absolute failure to plan, last-minute decision-making, last-minute interventions, and now again we have rushed legislation.
The 5 millionth COVID-19 vaccine will be administered this week in the Republic of Ireland, according to the Health Minister. Stephen Donnelly says over 4.7 million doses have been given out yesterday. By yesterday, apologies. Nearly 70% of adults have now received their first of two doses, and 56% of the adult population is now fully vaccinated. A university professor says rapid COVID testing in colleges aims to deliver results within just a few hours. A pilot program has been launched in four universities, NUI Galway, Trinity College Dublin, UCD and UCC. Trinity College Dublin professor Kingston Mill says students will be notified of results through a smartphone app.
It's trying to work out the logistics of doing it and reporting the test through an app. So it's making sure that a positive or negative test is linked to a phone that then could be used for determining whether somebody is safe in terms of, you know, going to a lecture or to a practical class.
528 people have tested positive for COVID-19 in Northern Ireland in the past 24 hours, but no additional deaths have been reported there. Over 2.1 million vaccines have now been administered in Northern Ireland. The Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte has apologised for easing COVID restrictions too soon. His government reimposed restrictions on bars, restaurants and clubs last Friday following a wave of infections within younger adults. Mr Rutte said the decision to fully reopen nightclubs and hospitality 2 weeks ago was poor judgement, which he regrets. Case numbers in the Netherlands have increased from about 600 a day to over 9,000 a day in just 2 weeks. The leader of the DUP has condemned the burning of Irish flags in the north as commemorations get underway to mark the 12th of July. Speaking to BBC Ulster, Geoffrey Donaldson said unionists should celebrate the day with respect to other communities. Maria Cleary has more.
There would have been a time in my job I would have spent most of today standing at an interface with other reporters at what would be a full-scale riot, you know, days of violence, and thankfully there's no sign of any of that.
Correspondent for the Belfast Telegraph, Alison Morris, remembers a time when the 12th of July meant riots and division. Now she says massive bonfires, which marked the 11th night, are a larger point of contention between unionists and nationalists.
Now we have a point where parading is mainly peaceful, and that is because of the Parades Commission, because of those restrictions. And maybe now is the time we need an independent body like that, maybe to regulate those controversial bonfires.
DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson has condemned the burning of the tricolour by the unionist community, but says the day should be celebrated.
And I think that it's right that people have the opportunity to understand their history, to celebrate their history. History shouldn't define us.
Hundreds of small-scale parades are taking place across the north today to try to spread the crowds as part of COVID-19 restrictions.
Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle is calling for steps to ensure that communities are consulted on with wind farms and other projects. In the Dáil, Deputy Pringle raised the prospect of another wind farm development close to Guibara and said that and other communities should be properly involved in the planning process. Responding to him, Minister Eamon Ryan said AirGrid has been involved in a significant survey to ensure that this is done.
I was pleased earlier this week to introduce or to launch further updated initiatives in regard to how we're looking to engage communities in this renewable revolution that has taken place. Critically in this, I believe, is the recent public consultation which AirGrid has been engaged in. I would say this particularly for Donegal because it has recognised that areas like Donegal have had seen very significant development compared to other parts of the country. It happens to be an area which probably the strongest wind resource that may explain that. But there is a real understanding that actually grid policy and renewables development policy go together. And Bord Pleanála will, I'm sure, take a very close eye to the conclusion of that consultation process where AirGrid set out some of the key questions. What we have is a huge economic resource. We are starting to go offshore, and that particularly for Donegal has huge potential because those northwestern waters are also very significant. We will still have onshore development of renewable energy because it does give us real economic opportunity. But it has to be done in line with community interests and also environmental protection. And we commit as a government to making sure that that is the case.
Deputy Pringle then questioned how effective this would be and said that the least the government should do is publish the draft wind energy guidelines, which he says are long awaited. Deputy Pringle added he personally has had a long litany of promises from ministers with very little actually happening on the issue.
What you've outlined in relation to AirGrid and stuff like that there sounds very good and very nice, but the reality is that they're not the developers of the wind farms. The developers of the wind farms are private. developers right across the board who just basically railroad over communities. And what we need to do is to make sure that the people and communities are recognised and responded to. That is the reality of the situation, and that's what you need to do. And I think the first thing you could do as a step in, along that is publish the actual wind energy guidelines. I stood in front of the Taoiseach on November the 18th last, and he told me that he was anxious to progress a comprehensive review of the wind energy guidelines. Nothing has happened. The following day, I raised the Mean Bog landslide under topical issues with Minister Noonan. As yet, nothing of consequence has emerged from the litany of investigations by an alphabet soup of organisations he outlined that day were to happen. Again, under questions on promise legislation on January 2nd this year, I raised with the Taoiseach both the focus review of the wind energy guidelines, which has been ongoing since September 2013, and the Mulcahy report into planning irregularities in Donegal, which had sat unpublished now on eight different ministers' desks. And your boss told me, I will follow those up for the deputy. I will talk to the minister about those. And I've heard nothing since.
A Donegal deputy is calling on the government and the Department of Education to fast-track the planning and construction process for the proposed new Three Schools campus in Buncrana. A compulsory purchase order was recently approved for the proposed site of the campus, which will house three schools, Crana College, Colossal Cianal Owen and Gilscall Buncrana. Deputy Pádraig McLaughlin says speed is of the essence.
Of course, it's taken far too long. We should have had a compulsory purchase order years ago in Buncrana. We procrastinated through the Department of Education on the negotiations. But now that we have got to this day, it's vital that we push on as soon as possible and we fast-track the funding of the planning, design and the construction of the new schools.
What timeline has currently been given for the planning, the construction, all those steps? What is the current timeline for those to be completed?
Well, the problem with this is that we don't have a timeline, but we do know from other examples in recent years that they can take a number of years, and that isn't acceptable. We are behind by a long time here in terms of the Crana College and the Gilscall Buncrana, particularly our schools that really badly need new campuses as soon as possible. So it's vital now that the Minister understands the need to fast-track every stage as much as possible. Well, it's essential that obviously the government TDs are Joe McHugh, the former Minister for Education, and the current Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, who's at the Cabinet table. It's vital that they impress upon their government colleague the need to push this on. I'll certainly, from opposition, raise this. I'm going to speak to her face-to-face about this issue, but it's vital now that we don't lose any more time and they don't treat this like a normal process. This now needs to be fast-tracked.
It's 12 minutes past five. We'll take a quick ad break now. Sport with Oisín is up next.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 16 minutes past five. That means it's time for Sport with Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Daniel. We start with Gaelic Games. The Ulster Senior Football Championship will continue at Brewster Park next Sunday for the North West Counties as Donegal clash with Tyrone at the semi-final stage. Donegal got past Derry thanks to a stunning late point from Patrick McBertie, while Tyrone had an easier time against Cavan on Saturday. All-Ireland winner Enda McGinley is a guest on tonight's DL debate with Brendan Devaney. Enda's been talking up Donegal ahead of the latest battle between the North West rivals.
Particularly the forward unit of Donegal, I think it carries more threat overall than Tyrone. Now, if Tyrone are heading out with their full potential forward line, the likes of Darren McCurry, the likes of Conor McKenna, Dara Canavan, Niall Sludden, if he starts coming back into the form, Paul Donahue, Callum McShane, like if you're getting that full forward line on, but we've never seen that and certainly never seen them all in form and playing as a unit together up there, whereas Donegal for me, Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson, Niall O'Donnell really came of age. I've been waiting on that type of performance from Niall O'Donnell for a while, and then McBrady inside, you've Jamie Brennan, Michael Murphy of Oisín Gallen, who's done well in previous years. Like, and with that forward unit of Donegal is massive for me. Their midfield power was a really, and I think that is of massive importance in the modern game, is that ability to dominate early in the middle third, because it has a huge impact on the kick-out plans that you can work both offensively from your own kickouts and trying to do a job on the opposition kickouts, having that band of big men across the middle is massive. Now, that's exciting for me from a drone point of view, because I think in Patrick and Kennedy, suddenly we look as if we've big men in there, but we were going out with the likes of Kieran McGeary, Connor Mailer, both wing halves, Rory Brennan, Peter Hart, wing half backs, none of them particularly early dominant, and it was leaving us a wee bit vulnerable in that, and teams like Donegal really can target that, and the kick out is a key source of possession for me. So that, along with their inside line, I can understand why Donegal do cause drone problems. They're a team on paper I think are excellent. I think the biggest thing for Donegal, and we've seen it yesterday in Derry, and you've mentioned in the past, is because the defenders for so long have had such a strong defensive structure around them, that maybe man against man or in bigger spaces, it's more difficult. Now, it's just more difficult for any defender if there's more space around them. But we're starting to see, like, Derry did pick a lot of holes in that Donegal defence, probably, what, 3 goal chances at the very least yesterday. So that will be a concern, and that will be an opportunity for Tyrone to go at Donegal, maybe in a way that they haven't had to go at that defence in previous years.
That's Enda McGinley speaking on the DL debate with Brendan Devaney tonight. Podcast, of course, online at highlandradio.com from 7 o'clock. And it will also air just after the 7 news as well. Also joining Brendan on the show tonight is Donegal assistant manager Paul McGonigal and Derry under 20 manager and former senior star Paddy Bradley. That's the DL debate this evening. Again, another one not to be missed. Well, as you know, Donegal just got over the line on Sunday to set up that tie with Tyrone. Vice captain of the county, Hugh McFadden, was impressed with Donegal's character when tested.
It's a funny, very tense kind of game. You know, we were very aware of the qualities that Derry were going to bring as a team. The performance throughout Division 3 were of an extremely high calibre, and they had a very good window to prepare coming into our game. And you know, we definitely didn't. No one in our group was thinking that Donegal were going to win by the odds, maybe that the Bookies would have had to kind of say beforehand. And you know, one thing about Rory is kind of got the best players in Derry playing for the county there, you know, the Derry team for the first time in quite a while, and they're very impressive. And you know, we're just kind of relieved to come out with a 1-point victory. I thought that the crucial things of the character our players showing, you know, Niall O'Donnell there was absolutely phenomenal. You know, Paddy was being marked by Chris McKay, one of the best markers in Ulster, and you know, the character and the class and the quality that he showed to kick the score over the bar. I thought Owen McNeilis was very influential when he came onto the field, he was excellent, and you know, Brendan McCall went on to McGuigan for the second half and done excellent. So, you know, the story of the game was, yes, Derry were excellent, but we showed a lot of resilience and character to come out of Balfour with a 1-1.
As Donegal vice captain Hugh McFadden following that one, of course, against Derry yesterday in Ballybuffet, as Donegal just done enough, of course, to get into the semi-finals. In other Gaelic Games news, Wexford will renew the rivalry after being drawn together in the first round of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Qualifiers. Waterford will face Laois in the other qualifier. Both games will take place next weekend, with details to be confirmed later today. Cork and Galway both received byes into the second round. Gareth Southgate says he intends to lead England in the next year's World Cup, but is unsure what the future will hold after that. He led the country to their first major men's tournament final in 55 years, only to be beaten by Italy at the Euro 2020 last night. The FA in England had previously said they want Southgate until the Euros in 2024, but the England boss says now is not the time to be thinking about that.
You know, there's a lot to think through. It's not about finance in any way or commitment. You know, I don't want to commit to anything longer than I should, and I never want to outstay my welcome.
And Rugby Lions head coach Warren Gatland says captain Alwyn Jones could still rejoin the squad in South Africa. The Wales lock had looked to be ruled out of the Springbok series after suffering a shoulder injury in the warm-up over Japan. Conor Murray will captain the Lions for Wednesday's meeting with the South Africa A side. Bundy Aki and Ian Henderson also start, while Tagburn is named on the bench for the game in Cape Town. 7 of the team that started the 2019 World Cup final will start for South Africa A on Wednesday. And Ireland will play the USA in Las Vegas this coming autumn. The IRFU have confirmed a schedule, which includes a match against the Eagles on October 30th. Andy Farrell's team will then return to Dublin to face Japan on November 6th, New Zealand on November 13th, and the last game of the series against Argentina on November 21st. Finally, some golf news. 2015 Open champion Zach Johnston has been forced to withdraw from this week's tournament. The American has tested positive for COVID-19. South Africa's Lewis de Jager will also miss the event at Royal St George after contacting the virus. Daniel Fratelli and England's Sam Horsfield will replace the pair in the field. That's your sport for today, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news, and a Killybegs-based seafood producer says it has achieved carbon neutrality. Island Seafoods became one of the first Irish businesses to install its own wind turbine, and its entire production facility is now powered by electricity, which is generated on-site. Previously, the company had also installed an on-site hydroelectric plant. The company has also announced the creation of five new permanent jobs after securing a new contract with Aldi. Michael O'Donnell, the marketing director at Island Seafoods, says significant investment has gone into making the business carbon neutral.
We've been doing a lot of work over the past 15, 20 years with sustainability and sustainable initiatives. And I suppose the big one was always going to be the wind turbine. About 10, 15 years ago, we built a hydroelectric power plant as well just beside the factory. And it generated electricity to kind of feed the factory as well. So we always kind of aimed to be, we wanted to be carbon neutral. We wanted to be able to say that we produce more electricity than we actually use, and it would save on greenhouse gases and everything. So that's kind of what our plan was the whole time. And it just kind of came to fruition there in March 2021 that we had our wind turbine commissioned. So up until that, we were, I suppose, dependent on the grid. Now we're not dependent on the grid.
And with a hydroelectric power supply with a wind turbine,
yes.
How much investment has been put into this by the business to become sustainable and carbon neutral?
Oh, there's a quite a substantial financial investment that you would have to put in, especially for the wind turbine. We were lucky enough, we were granted 30% from BIM, Bordis Gowara. And it was kind of the same a few years ago as well for the hydroelectric power plant. So there was investment that was close to €1 million that we had to invest.
And the weather, brighter sunny spells and scattered showers this evening, with some showers turning heavy at times. Those heavy showers will clear southwards early tonight, becoming dry apart from just some isolated spells. There'll be clear spells too, with lowest temperatures of 10 to 14 degrees. Tomorrow Tuesday will be a dry day for most, but there'll be patchy drizzle around first thing this morning. Highest temperatures tomorrow of 17 to 21 degrees. Headlines once again. Tributes have been paid to the 34-year-old mother of one who died in hospital yesterday morning following a hit-and-run collision in Lifford. Non-essential international travel reopens 1 week from today, and also today 1.9 million digital COVID certs will begin to be issued to those who are fully vaccinated. 63 COVID patients are in hospital today, the highest number in almost 1 month. A formal date for the reopening of indoor dining may not be agreed until tomorrow, as cabinet ministers are being briefed on the legislation ahead of a full cabinet meeting tomorrow morning. And the 5 millionth COVID-19 vaccine will be administered this week in the Republic of Ireland, according to the health minister. That's all from the news for now. We'll have another update for you at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, July the 12th. The death has taken place of Bridget McGroarty, Maharard House, Ballynally, Moville. Funeral arrangements are to be confirmed later. House strictly private, please. The death has taken place of William Thomas Billy Boyd, 63 Park Road, Ballymacgrory, at Rushall Private Nursing Home in Limavady. Funeral service at his late home, 63 Park Road, Ballymacgrory, on Wednesday, 14th of July at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Lechpatrick Parish Churchyard. Family flowers only. Donations to Dementia NI, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, Funeral Director, 24A Church Road, Altnagalvin, Derry. The death has taken place of Kathleen Doyle, Meenbunone, Creasla. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv/camera/St. Michael's Church, Creasla. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Jack and Jill Foundation, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral director. and the death has taken place of Joseph Sheeran Creeve Rathmullen. His remains will repose at his home. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, followed by burial in Rathmullen Cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Funeral Mass can be viewed on MCN Media, St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. Family flowers only, please.